Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. Thank you for joining us today. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today by my fellow co-workers in the Word, Principal Brandon Heinze, and our Assistant Principal, Matthew Kranz. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
There's only 3.5 weeks of school left. Is that right?
I try not to think about it.
Okay.
We're not. If you don't count them, it goes faster.
Yes. Who's counting? Okay. We'll begin with a brief devotion today based on Philippians chapter 2. So just to set the stage for you a little bit, the last couple of devotions that we've had together, we've talked about what we call the humiliation and then the exaltation of Jesus. And so Paul reminded the believers here in Philippi that Jesus did not consider robbery to be equal with God. He gave up being God itself and then came in the likeness of men and humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. So he humiliated himself, he humbled himself, but then because of this great sacrifice that he made, God then highly exalted him. So he was exalted that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those on the earth, under the earth, over the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so now at the end of all this, now Paul comes to the verses that we're going to be looking at today. So we considered the great work of Christ, his descent, his humiliation, his ascent, now into heaven at the right hand of God. And then Paul says, therefore, and so here we pick it up in verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And so I'll start with that beginning of verse 12 there where he talks about not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence. What's the point Paul's making, and why would it matter if they are obeying in his presence versus not in his presence?
Well, I think the point Paul is making is that they are following God's will, whether they're being watched by somebody or not being watched by somebody. And he's encouraging them to keep on doing that, to keep on following that will of God that is laid out before them, whether there's a supervisor there, as in thinking of Paul as a supervisor kind of thing, or whether they're just being workers within the kingdom, kind of left to their own to keep doing that work.
Apply this to the school setting a little bit. Do we have rules or policies that will enable us to give more trust to certain students and not need supervision, maybe others who would?
Yeah, sure. We have a really study hall system in our 9th through 12th grade where students that demonstrate that they can handle being less supervised or given a little bit more freedom to go about doing their studies and work and things like that through the day versus students that have demonstrated maybe they don't have that ability yet and they have to be a little more supervised when it comes to doing the things they do during the day.
Yeah.
I think of it like, Paul knows that his time is coming up and he's giving them some encouragement too that even when I'm gone, work out or obey the Lord. Kind of like I just read in my daily reading about the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. As long as Joshua and his elders were alive, they followed the Lord. But when those people passed away, they fell into idolatry and sin. Mm. So maybe Paul's singing to that, maybe not. But he's telling them to keep on keeping on, even when Paul's no longer there.
Yeah, I was trying to come up with a basketball quote on this before we were talking about it. And the best quote I came up with was from John Wooden, who said, the true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching. You know, and I think that's very true, as Paul's saying, you know, when I'm there and you do the things you know you're supposed to do, well, that's fine. But what's more impressive is that you keep doing it even when I'm not there, not watching you, not making sure that you follow my directions every step of the way. And, you know, I think that's, you know, if you think about your employment, your job, you know, a truly trustworthy employee is somebody that you can give a job and you know it's just going to get done. You don't have to sit there and, you know, nitpick and instruct them.
Micromanage
every little step. And that's like, you know, we applied it to the school, but that's what we strive to train our children to do too, right?
Yep.
When they're very little, you have to hold their hand and make sure they do everything just right. As they get older and older, now it's okay, go brush your teeth. And you shouldn't have to sit there and watch your child brush their teeth to make sure they get the job done, eventually they should be able to do it on their own, right? And so Paul's, you know, emphasizing this aspect of, you know, this shouldn't just be something you're doing because someone's watching you. It's something that you put into daily practice in every part of your life. After all, God is always watching you, isn't he? So then he gets to this interesting, and I mentioned this before we even started, that it almost seems like a paradox, these next two clauses. So Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So it almost sounds like, you know, obviously we know that Paul teaches salvation by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 talks about how we're saved by grace through faith. But here he says, work out your own salvation. So I think we can obviously say Paul's not preaching work righteousness. He's not saying you have to work your own salvation by your good works. So what does he mean when he says you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Because I thought salvation was something that God does for us, not something that we do for ourselves. What's he doing here?
Well, I wonder if it means that he is telling them as they're looking at their own salvation, they should look at it with fear and trembling, knowing that they can't save mm-hmm. themselves. And then he points them to where their true salvation does come from. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. And the fact that their faith in God and their faith in Jesus as their Savior is the reason for why they're able to do the good works that they're doing and to keep working in the kingdom the way they've been working without being micromanaged by Paul or some other leader.
You know, I don't know what the original Greek is or if there's, you know, different meanings there, but he just described what Jesus has done for us and his absolute obedience to God's will and how he saved us. Jesus already worked the salvation in us, and now that salvation needs to be worked out in our lives with fear and trembling. I like that whole verse. Paul starts verse 12 by telling him how much he loves him, my beloved, as you always have obeyed, right? You're continuing on, and just that concept, like, Jesus saved you, but we continue on with the salvation that, you know, James says, like, faith without works is dead, right? If you are truly a believer, if you truly understand what God's salvation is for you, it's going to come out. You're going to work it out in your lives. It's going to be part of it. Not for your own salvation, but you're going to work out the salvation that's already been won by Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you guys both make good points there. And the thing I would add to it is just, you know, we're so familiar with the idea of the Apostles' Creed, right? I believe Jesus Christ is the only Son of our Lord, is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and buried. You know, we've been taught Jesus died on the cross, saving my sins since I was a little child, right? And it's something we're very familiar with. But really, when we truly consider and when we truly seek to comprehend what that means, that God became man, that God was with us, that God forsook God on the cross, that Jesus rose from the dead, it should elicit fear and trembling from us. You know, mm-hmm. the fact that God loved us so dearly, that he sent Jesus, the fact that that punishment on the cross is truly mine. And so, you know, we can't work our own salvation. We can't win salvation for ourselves, but our salvation is a reasonable thing. You know, God presents it as something for us to be able to comprehend and understand. And it's something that is so simple, a little child can understand it. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus died on the cross, taking my sins. My daughter Addie's favorite song right now is, here's the cross. here's the cross. Jesus died. Here's the tomb, empty tomb. Jesus lives.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole song. And she'll tell you Jesus died on the cross. So little kids can understand it, but it's something that's so deep and so meaningful and so infinite in its love and in its majesty that it's something that we are going, and we do, we reconsider it every year during the Lenten season as we make our way to Easter. And as we really talk about every week and every time we go to God's Word, the work of Jesus is something that is infinite and that's something we'll never be able to truly say, well, now I've considered that from every angle, or now I've got that whole story. The gospel is infinite in its forgiveness for us. And so it should elicit this fear and trembling idea. And then again, this isn't something we do for ourselves. It's God, right? Right. God has come in our hearts. He's the one who works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. And so that's, you know, the fact that we have faith is the work of God. But now as we consider what that faith is based upon, and as we look at the person of Jesus, it elicits fear and trembling, you know, and not the scared fear, but the wow factor fear, the honor, the glory fear that God is truly deserving of. Any closing thoughts here, guys, on these verses? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your humiliation. We thank you for your exaltation, for all that you did for us in winning salvation for us, Lord. Bless us as we continue to grow in our understanding of that great sacrifice. Build in us a trust that looks to you and you alone for salvation. And as we consider our faith and what it's based upon, as we look upon the salvation you won for us, help us to have those thoughts of fear and trembling, realizing that it is not anything we could earn on our own, but completely your work and completely the work of your hands to win salvation for us. Bless us as we walk as your children in this dark world. Help us to be lights reflecting the glory of your salvation shown through your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Which brings us to our weekly updates and reminders today. Just a reminder that Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew has accepted our call to come and serve us here at Emmanuel. We're thankful for that. He will be moving here in the month of May, and we'll have his installation on the weekend of May 25th and 26th. We will have a 4 p.m. service on Saturday, May 25th, followed by a potluck. So there will be no 6 o'clock service that Saturday. We'll repeat that installation service the following day at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, May 26th. You can plan to join us for either one. We're inviting the local area CLC congregations to that Saturday service as well. We have a number of part-time teacher calls out to fill the positions needed at this time. Holly Harris has accepted her call to serve in the first and second grade room. Mrs. Deb Mayhew is considering the call to serve as a part-time teacher, and we're still waiting to hear from Mrs. Deidre Macias as well about her call. The cemetery cleanup day was delayed last weekend, April 20th, due to the cool weather, so it's rescheduled for this Saturday, April 27th at 9:30. So if you can come join us for that, hope you can do that. This weekend is also confirmation on Sunday, April 28th, will be our confirmation service. There will be a brief Saturday service themed on the same idea, but on Sunday morning, the examination will take place at 9 a.m. during our regular Bible class and Sunday school hour. There will be Sunday school available for our pre-K through fourth grade. We're encouraging fifth grade and older to attend the examination in the church. The confirmation service will then take place at 10 a.m. Name tag weekend is coming up the weekend after that, May 4th and 5th. So please plan to grab a name tag. Also consider your time and talents as we'll be taking that offering that weekend as well. And then looking ahead, Adopt a Highway is taking place May 11th. As far as our prayer lists for today, we keep in our prayers Pastor John Hine, Marlene Hannell, Jim Leon. We also pray that God would continue to give Chuck Bodie and Lota Eric healing from their accidents that took place. We also pray for the families of Balbina Macias, of Denise Schlewin, and of Norman Schwartz, all of whom went home to be with the Lord. And finally, we pray for Arthur Heyer, a young man who we prayed for in the past dealing with cancer. He's 4 years old, and recently cancer was found in his brain, and he has been unresponsive to chemotherapy. So we pray for the Heyer family as well. We're bringing back at this time our senior interviews as we do exit interviews with the seniors in high school. We'll begin this week with Ginny Strand. I spoke to her yesterday. Here's what that sounded like. Now we come to our senior interview portion of our podcast. Every year we get to know some of the seniors here who are graduating from Emmanuel Lutheran School. Today I am joined by Ginny. Ginny, how are you today?
I'm pretty good.
Wonderful. So we're going to go through some questions that we've prepared and that she's taken a look at beforehand about kind of her experience and time here at Emmanuel and some unique things about her as we get to know her and as she reflects upon her past here at Emmanuel. So, Ginny, what is your full name?
Ginny Ray Strand.
R-A-E, Ray?
Yeah.
That's my sister's middle name, too, and she just had a baby named Ray. Isn't that interesting? You mentioned before, Ginny isn't short for anything, huh?
Well, it's short for my grandmother, whose name was Virginia, but when she passed away, I was named Ginny because that's what they used to call her.
Oh, so that was her nickname. And so that's your full name. Okay, yeah. Very good. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Ginny?
Well, I was born in Minneapolis, and after 9 months of living there, we moved to Mankato, and I've grown up here for the rest of my life. I'm 17, and I love to travel the state of Minnesota.
Okay. Where have you been in Minnesota?
A lot of different places. I've been to Alexandria, Henning, pretty much the entire state at this point.
Cool. So. Awesome. Awesome. You're Minnesota native, and you love it here, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you have any hobbies you'd like to share with us about things you like to do?
I love shooting archery, shooting guns, and swimming.
Awesome. You have an archery shirt on right now.
Yeah.
I see. Very cool. How long have you attended Emmanuel, Ginny?
13 years.
So the whole time, huh?
Yes.
K through 12.
Yep.
Very cool. Very cool. That's a long time, huh?
Yes,
it is. How does that feel as a senior to be coming down to the end of your time?
Weird, because now I'm a student aide in the kindergarten room, and I'm like, I was here 13 years ago.
Who was your teacher in kindergarten?
Mrs. Olmanson.
It was Kathleen?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's neat. Very good. What activities did you participate in high school? What were some of the things you did at school here?
I did trap, archery, or not archery.
So trap is one of the newer programs we do where we kids shoot trap, right? Yep. Out at Key City Conservation Club, right?
Yep.
So it's been going on. I think we're on our second year now.
Yes.
Very good. What else?
Volleyball. I played that from 7th grade to my 11th year of high school.
Okay.
And I did soccer from 3rd grade to 6th grade.
Okay.
And basketball from 4th grade to 10th grade.
Okay. Okay. So you've tried a little bit of everything.
Yes.
Huh? Very good. Awesome. How was Emmanuel helpful in your high school career?
To keep my faith strong. There's been times in my life where I needed my faith to be strengthened, and I would just focus a lot more in religion classes to strengthen my faith.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's a unique thing that we have that we're able to talk about our faith in all of our classes. You mentioned the religion classes, but, you know, really it comes out in all of our classes too, right?
Yeah.
Is that your experience? Is you see that in everything?
Yes. We've had different classes. Like in English, we've studied different stories on the religion basis and stuff, which has been very helpful.
Excellent. What problems have you run into in high school, and how did you overcome them?
Probably getting everything ready for college this past year, figuring out which college I want, what degree I want, and where I just want to go with my life as I'm leaving high school and moving on to my next step in life.
It's a big transition, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. If you could start school over again, Ginny, we'll just say high school. If you could start high school over again, what would you do differently?
I probably would have taken PSEO classes just to graduate college a little bit sooner with, because I would have had a lot more credits.
Sure. Sure. Here's a fun one. One word to describe yourself.
Independent.
Oh, why independent?
Last summer, I left home for 9 weeks and worked at a summer camp.
Wow.
That is called Lutheran Island Camp up in Henning, Minnesota. And I lived there by myself with a bunch of other camp people, but I didn't really have my family up there.
Yeah.
So I would have had to be independent and focus on myself.
Yeah. That's a big step to be away from your family, because you've never been away from your family that long before, have you?
No.
Yeah. Very cool. Good for you. So I imagine then the next question is, what are you doing after this year? I imagine independent is a part of your plan, huh?
In the fall, I will be attending Bemidji State University for a nursing degree.
Nursing. Okay. Yep. And what's your ultimate goal with that nursing degree?
To get my master's and hopefully work in a NIC unit.
Okay. Okay. Newborn infant.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, as someone whose baby has spent a considerable amount of time in a NICU unit, level 4 NICU unit, I am very thankful that there are people like you out there, Ginny, because it's not something that I could do. It's pretty intense work and pretty amazing things they're able to do in those NICU units, too, to keep these kids alive. So thank you for using your gifts and talents to help these little children. And my prayers for you as you go forward to do that and make the most of your education. So very, very cool. Good for you.
Thank you.
Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? So post-college and all that.
Hopefully be graduated with my master's and working at a NIC unit as a nurse.
Yeah. Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Yeah. You mentioned before you're a Minnesota girl, huh?
Yep.
So you're not going to the coast or anything like that.
No.
Oh, gotcha. This is where you want to be. Anywhere in Minnesota, or do you want to stay in Mankato, or have you thought that far ahead yet?
Maybe like look up. I've been looking into different places up north more.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very cool. What does Emmanuel mean to you? So you've gone here for, this has been your second home for 13 years, you said. Your dad's the cook here, right? So this is a place that you have spent a ton of time in the last 13 years. What does Emmanuel mean to you?
It's amazing. It will always have a special place in my heart, especially as I grow up and get older and have my own kids and realize that I want my kids to have a faith-based education, but also have a ton of experiences like I have had.
Sometimes, you know, people say, well, Emmanuel, you can't have as many experiences because it's a small school, there's so few students. Would you say that's a valid point, or do you think is your experience that you got to have a lot of experiences here even though it is a small school?
It is a small school, but you can have a lot of more experiences. And like how I said, I went to work at a summer camp all summer. And it was amazing and great for me. You can have more experiences outside of school while being still part of the school.
Excellent. Very good. Last thing, anything you'd like to say to our listeners, to you know, the people who've been praying for you, supporting you these past 13 years, anything you'd like to say to them?
Thank you for everything, supporting me through my education here, supporting me through getting confirmed, and now supporting me to continue with my life and get stronger.
I know the members of Emmanuel here are excited to see what the future holds in store for you, Jenny. So God has blessed you with some amazing talents, and I look forward to seeing what's in your future, what God has in store for you. Very good. Thank you so much for joining us, Jenny.
Thank you.
Yep, have a wonderful day.
Which brings us to our hymn of the day today, which is hymn 358 in the Red Hymnal. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. That alone be all our glory. All things else are only dross. Thee we own a perfect Savior, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favor comes to us through Jesus' blood. Jesus gives us true repentance, by his Spirit sent from heaven, whispers this transporting sentence, Son, thy sins are all forgiven. Faith he grants us to believe it, grateful hearts his love to prize. Want we wisdom, he must give it, hearing ears and seeing eyes. Jesus gives us pure affections, wills to do what he requires, makes us follow his directions, and what he commands inspires. All our prayers and all our praises, rightly offered in his name, he that dictates them is Jesus, he that answers is the same. Amen. Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. For more information about the ongoing activity here, we'd invite you to check out our website, emmanuelmankato.org. Until next time, may God bless and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.